It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Jerry Willis.
I'm Steve Ducey.
I'm Shannon Bream, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, March 18th, 2024, I'm Mike Emanuel. House lawmakers are expected to hear from former Hunter Biden business associates this week. But after saying he would testify publicly, President Biden's son now says he does not plan to participate. Leading Republicans say their investigation has uncovered plenty.
We found millions of dollars that the Bidens have taken in from bad people in bad countries.
We speak to House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer.
I'm Chris Foster. Star college athletes are paid now for the use of their name, image, and likeness. The chaos it's caused, as some people saying, I told you so.
Do you want an environment where somebody goes to the highest bidder? I know it's the American way to a degree, but should there be some regulation? We can only make so much money.
Speaking with Fox's Brian Kilmeade.
And I'm Carol Roth. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
Many are convinced action must be taken to get a handle on the crisis at our southern border. But President Biden says it's Congress's problem.
Mr. President, when is an border executive action coming? An executive action on the border.
I'm counting on the border action happening by itself. They're passing it.
The Congress can't come to an agreement.
Well, they haven't yet.
Help them.
They haven't yet.
Mr. President?
I'm helping them.
President Biden's son Hunter was supposed to headline a high-profile congressional hearing this week. But Hunter Biden has had second thoughts about appearing on Capitol Hill. Florida Republican Congressman Byron Donald says Hunter should answer questions about Biden family business dealings.
We can clearly see that Hunter Biden was the bag man, that he did take money from CEFC, that he did text the chairman, Chairman Zhao, sitting next to his father.
Back in December, Hunter Biden appeared on Capitol Hill to speak with reporters, but didn't want to go inside to speak to House lawmakers.
Republicans do not want an open process where Americans can see their tactics, expose their baseless inquiry, or hear what I have to say. What are they afraid of? I'm here. I'm ready.
The border problem and its impact on border states and many major American cities is likely to be a red-hot campaign issue in this year's election. Part of the Biden argument is the country cannot go back to former President Trump being in power.
Folks, it's not hyperbole to suggest our freedoms are literally on the ballot this November. Yeah. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans are trying to take our freedoms away. And by the way, not all Republicans. This ain't your father's Republican Party. These guys are different.
Former President Trump in battleground Ohio raised some eyebrows with this comment.
If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
Trump campaign aides say Mr. Trump was talking about the economic impact on the auto industry. The stakes are high at the top of the ticket, but also in the House, where Republicans are hoping to hold on to their tiny majority. Some suggest Trump on the ballot will help the GOP.
When he's on the ticket, the turnout is significantly higher. It's not even close.
Chairman of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer.
So we always have a dip in turnout when he's not on election, when he's not on the ballot. I think him being on the ballot is a huge positive for us. And I think the Republicans will retain the majority.
Mr. Chairman, you're set to lead another hearing this week investigating what you call inconsistencies in testimony in the Hunter Biden investigation. What can we expect from the hearing, and who will we hear from?
Well, we hope to hear from Hunter Biden. I mean, he said for months he wanted a public hearing. The media attacked me for wanting to do a deposition and accused me of not wanting to have Hunter Biden testify in public. I always said after the deposition we'd have the public hearing. So this is the week for the public hearing. We're going to have three of his former business partners with him. The reason we're going to have those four panelists is because what the three business partners said, Hunter did and Joe did, is vastly different than what Hunter testified under oath in his deposition about his knowledge and his father's role in their business scheme. So we thought that we would just have a public hearing, let the American people see for themselves and see if they can make a decision on who's telling the truth.
Tony Bobulinski has criticized Hunter for not testifying before Congress. How pivotal will Bobulinski's testimony be to this investigation?
Pretty significant. I mean, if you look at all of the people that Hunter Biden was in business with, Tony Bobulinski is the one guy who is never in trouble. He's the one guy who's credible. He's the one guy that's never been indicted or incarcerated that Hunter Biden was in business with. I mean, the media and the Democrats are trying to attack me for some of the people that we've been deposing. They said, oh, they're criminals. Well, it's not a reflection on me. That's a reflection on the Bidens. That's who the Bidens were in business with. Bobulinski's the one guy that's clean, and I'm looking forward to hearing from him because what he says Hunter and Joe did is vastly different than what Hunter testified under oath. So this is a huge discrepancy, and we just felt like it would be best for the American people to hear with their own ears and see with their own eyes.
Hunter Biden's high-profile D.C. attorney, Abby Lowell, has called this investigation a carnival sideshow. What would you say to that and the critics of the investigation?
Well, Mr. Lowell has represented Senator Menendez. He's represented Hunter Biden, and he's represented Jared Kushner. So he's very good and credible at representing people that many in Congress have accused of influence peddling. But at the end of the day, I think this has been a very transparent, very substantive, and very credible investigation. Now, he may not like the outcome because he's representing, Biden and Menendez are both pretty guilty of a lot of serious crimes, federal crimes. So, I just disagree with Abby Lowell. He gets paid a lot of money to get people that break the law out of trouble. And, he's got his own opinion. I just disagree with it.
If Hunter Biden's a no-show, do you think the public will be able to get a full sense of what went on with Biden Inc. business dealings?
I think so. And, there'll probably be other opportunities. I'll just say this. I fully expect Hunter Biden to testify in a public hearing. Mm-hmm. He's got an opportunity to come to this public hearing with his business partners. So I'll leave it at that. If I were Hunter Biden, I would show up for this public hearing that he demanded. And the media, the terrible media, mainstream, the corrupt mainstream media that has attacked me throughout this investigation for having the audacity to investigate the Bidens and their public corruption, accused me of being afraid to have Hunter Biden in a public hearing. Well, here it is. And the media, they completely pivoted. They've completely done a 180 and said, oh, well, he's already testified. No, he hasn't testified publicly yet, and that's what they wanted. So we'll see what happens. There's two occasions where Hunter was supposed to be in front of our committee, and he didn't come, but he had public stunts outside. So it's not like Hunter Biden has a job or anything. I mean, he's sitting there living off of that Kevin Morris in a $40,000 a month apartment. I don't know if he still got his Kazastaki Porsche that he got when Joe Biden was a vice president, but Hunter's has the means to show up on our date of the hearing. So hopefully he'll be there.
On a related topic, reports suggest that the House Republicans are now looking at passing influence peddling legislation. Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense of what that would look like, and do you think it could gain bipartisan support?
Absolutely. And if you go back to November 14th of 2022, the midterm elections had just happened. We flipped the House, but I didn't become chairman until January. So at this point in November, the Democrats are still in the majority, but I'm the chairman-elect, so to speak. I had a press conference, a 33-minute press conference. I announced the investigation with Jim Jordan, Nancy Mace, Byron Donalds. There were a few of my oversight colleagues standing beside me. And I said, the objective of this investigation is to get the American people the truth about what the Bidens have done with our adversaries around the world and to pass influence peddling legislation that would prevent this from happening in the future. And since that press conference, we found millions of dollars that the Bidens have taken in from bad people in bad countries. And most of it happened while Joe Biden was vice president. And no one knew that. The narrative was always two things. Well, none of the money happened while Joe Biden was vice president, and Hunter Biden is like Jared Kushner. He has a real business. No, Jared Kushner has legitimate assets. Through this whole investigation, I'm a finance guy. I've never found a legitimate business that Hunter Biden had. This is one of the most serious, if not the most serious crime that any presidential family has ever committed. And I think that despite the awful partisan weaponized media, I think that we've been successful in getting the truth to the American people. And now we're to the point to where it's time for accountability. And that's why I can't emphasize enough the importance of Hunter Biden and his lawyer showing up for that public hearing.
Congressman Ken Buck is retiring from the House this week. I don't need to tell you the House majority is slim and shrinking with his departure. How much more difficult does that make the job for House Republicans?
Well, my message to Ken Buck is don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out, because he's been nothing but an obstacle. So really, you know, he was a pretty consistent vote for the Democrats. It really doesn't affect it any. He was going to vote no on anything, although he did vote for the impeachment inquiry, and I appreciate that, and I told him that. But you know, Buck's disgruntled. Well, unfortunately, I don't think it's any secret. We have a lot of disgruntled members in our conference. There was a lot of animosity over those eight Republicans, and Buck was one of them, that joined with the Democrats to get rid of McCarthy, which totally disrupted the conference because you had to get new staff. You brought in a speaker, nice guy, good guy, came in with Mike Johnson, but, you know, never been in leadership before. And, you know, we had to, you know, everybody had to update him on what their committees were doing. And it just really set us back. And it caused a lot of hard feelings. And so Buck's been nothing but an instigator this whole Congress. I don't think we'd lose much there. But, we have to be unified. And the only unifying vote we've had on any major bill that I can remember in a long time is the vote to go to the impeachment inquiry phase. So despite the media saying the Republican conference doesn't support this investigation, there's overwhelming support. Everybody in our conference supports the investigation of the Biden influence peddling, and they realize there's some very serious crimes that have been committed by this family.
The crisis at the border showing no signs of letting up. The Biden administration is not taking executive action on the issue. Are you hopeful Congress could take action before the election?
But I don't see what Congress can do. The president has the authority to secure the border. He has a military. He has the Border Patrol agents. And he says he needs more Border Patrol agents. That's baloney. We've been to the border. He hasn't. We've been to the border numerous times, the Republicans in conference. The Border Patrol agents say that Biden has changed their job from securing the border to changing diapers and doing paperwork. Instead of securing the Border Patrol under Joe Biden has become the welcoming agency. And Joe Biden wants all these illegals coming. That's the Biden policy. That's the Biden border policy. It is an open border policy. They want to fundamentally change America. And I think the American people see that. I think that, you know, Joe Biden has demonstrated that he wants an open border. We have an immigration crisis because of Joe Biden. He doesn't need a bill to secure the border. That's his job. That's Mayorkas' job, to protect the American people.
He is the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Congressman James Comer. Thank you so much for your time. Busy week ahead. Safe travel, sir.
Thank you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News correspondent and New York Times bestselling author. Join me for my brand new podcast, Searching for Heroes. Make sure you subscribe to this series wherever you download podcasts and leave a rating and review.
This is Carol Roth with your Fox News commentary. Coming up.
The men's college basketball tournament starts tomorrow. Since the Supreme Court ruling in 2021, those athletes have the opportunity to make money, licensing the use of their name, image, and likeness. For example, in ads and video games. The video game company EA Sports says more than 10,000 players have accepted an offer to appear in an upcoming college football game. getting a minimum of $600 and a copy of the game. There's a lot more money to be made than that, though, and star athletes are out there looking for it. Former Alabama football coach Nick Saban tells Fox it's not why he retired in January, but the NIL system needs to change.
I want the quality of life for student athletes to be the best it can be, and I think they should have a seat at the table, and I think they should share in some of the revenue. But I think it needs to be, you know, equal across the board so that a school that can afford more can't create an advantage for themselves just because they have more money to spend.
What's happening now has been compared to the Wild West.
There's no question it's chaos. Fundamentally, why do they have it?
Brian Kilmeade, co-host of Fox and Friends and the Brian Kilmeade Show on Fox News Radio.
Well, for the longest time, you've seen 110,000 people at the University of Michigan, and you're saying all those people paid $50, $70, $200, $500, thousands of dollars for good seats. And the only people not benefiting are the players. And the only people indispensable, you could argue, are the players.
Right.
So something had to change. I get it. I understand it. Stipends, that's it. And, Chris, I think you know with the demands on a Division I player, Division I athlete, I don't care if you're swimming, lacrosse, non-revenue volleyball, soccer, football especially, you really don't have your time. You don't have your summer. So you really can't get that side job.
You can't get a – right. You don't have time for a work-study job.
So they said, okay, what about name, image, and likeness? There wasn't a short time ago Johnny Manziel got suspended because he went to an autograph show where he signed his name and his picture. So – they said, this is getting ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it's a question of fairness. I mean, it's not the school's paying you, but if you want to do a commercial, who's to stop you from doing a commercial?
Here's the question. So I go to do a commercial at the University of Texas. I go to Texas, and the coach says to me, guys, you want to meet our very successful alumni, some of which have some car dealerships, and they own some TV stations. I think you can be a contributor here. I think you can appear in a dealership. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, the University of Texas, it's not because of the majors they offer or the size of their campus, but they're going there because they're getting more money. Do you want an environment where somebody goes to the highest bidder? I know it's the American way to a degree, but should there be some regulation where you can only make so much money, there can only be so much interaction, where we know you register, Chris, so you have to go and register your company with a major body that says this is how much you're going to give, this is the regulation, and this is what you're going to do. And when you go to sign the quarterback at Georgia, we're going to break you down. Okay, here's the quarterback. Yeah. How many are you going to do?
Right.
Fine. But then the courts just rocked it. They just rocked it and said, no, there's nothing. And now it's down to the Wild West again. And we saw Nick Saban, the most successful coach in college football history, say to his wife, or his wife said to him, you don't like this anymore. He goes, at the end of the season in which they lost in the finals, I believe, or semifinals, he said kids were lined up not to find out what they were going to do next year. Say, coach, if you don't give me more money, I'm transferring.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost... like it is. It's free agency, essentially, because now it's become easier for kids to transfer.
No sitting out a year.
Right.
Right.
Which used to be the rule. How much money are the biggest stars making? How much can it...
That's a great question. It's virtually undisclosed. Okay. And I'll give you an example. Arch Manning, who is at Texas, I don't think has taken a snap yet. And he says he won't collect it, but he's got like $5 million NIL money.
Right.
I don't know if they have the ranking, but you're talking about millions of dollars. Now, what's good about it? Kind of get to see these guys and these women for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's remember that how we got to know Patrick Ewing and Hakeem Olajuwon and these guys?
Because kids stay in school longer because they can make money instead of just jumping right to the pros.
Right, and kind of good. So now if I'm CBS and I get to roll out a bunch of players, I kind of know. I remember Bobby Hurley played 4 years at Duke. He plays 1 year. Zion plays 1 year at Duke. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember he went to college. So it helps sell that and sell everything. So that I kind of like. Kind of waits and lets people be 21, 22 before they go pro. And just keep in mind, the conversation we're having, most people will not do this for a living. This is their moment. And I think a lot of people can't get their head around, why can't they just wait to make money? The money's not waiting. They're going into the real world, and if they didn't get a chance to study and get that degree, I don't know what you're going to go in with.
This kind of reminds me of marijuana laws, where guys who used to spend time in prison or get kicked out of college, or get kicked out of their college program for doing something that's now completely
very
legal.
Similar.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I call on the government, believe it or not, to Joe Manchin's talked about this, believe it or not, college teammates with Nick Saban, and they've been working hard on this. If everyone has the same objective, give the kids some money, though this is their moment. But I just think you got an offensive lineman, here you go.
Yeah.
You know, you're at Alabama, fine. But if you're at East Stroudsburg State, Division II, right, you get 4,000 people at your game. So everyone's like, well, what are we giving them? I don't know. I can't write a check to them. I don't think the NCAA should be writing a check. But that's something to think about. Maybe there's fundamental, if I'm a Division I athlete, I am getting $25,000 a year. Volleyball player, Nebraska, you do sell up an arena.
Yeah.
At Hofstra, you're not selling out an arena. So maybe there is a Division I, Division II, Division III.
Where there's a pool of money and the kids get...
Get it.
Yeah.
But just to show you how complicated it is, but fixable, is that Nick Saban said, you know the money at Alabama? We're basically paying... Basketball and football pays for all the other sports.
Sure.
So just so you know, if I have to pay my players, we're going to lose sports. And isn't the goal to get have us be a student athlete?
Is I wonder if it's going to hurt smaller sports. If you're just, say, an overall booster at the University of Texas, and you're just throwing, here's money for the athletic program. Now I'm not going to give you money for the athletic program. I'm going to give you money for that kid.
Should you? Yeah. I mean, that's it. I want to aspire to Arch Manning. I love the family.
Right.
I love the commercials. This guy's going to be gold. I'd love to know that he would show up with my banner in the backdrop. All right. He's not starting. You know, so is that right? You're picking your player. Now, is a coach going to feel pressure to play that? Yeah, absolutely, the coach will feel pressure to play him.
Recruiting was already a big part of the job, and now you've got to recruit high school kids. You've got to recruit from the transfer portal because that's so easy now. And then you've got to recruit your own kids to stay.
Great point. And, Chris, Rick Pitino said that at St. John's. So people don't know, 70 years old, been coaching for 45 years already in the Hall of Fame. He said that some of his best teams at Kentucky and Louisville, my best players didn't play for 2 years. So they just trained.
Right.
Now, I will lose that kid. Coach, I'm not sitting again. I got somebody else. You know, Eastern Kentucky wants to give me more money, and I'll get off the bench. So now as coach, I might have to sacrifice a game to put that raw rookie with a lot of talent to make him feel more part of it so he doesn't transfer. So what? Like, people listening to us right now will go, so what? Let the coaches adjust. I don't know. I don't know if I want a 17-year-old holding up a program, changing substitution patterns. I want a coach putting the best team out there to be most successful out there. So everything's in flux. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think the only people with the power since the NCAA lost in courts to come in and set this up is the government.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
people think I'm crazy.
Well, you've got to be torn. I'm sure you're fundamentally a free market guy, but. I don't know what the guardrails are going to be.
Well, I didn't grow up in a college football environment. Where did you grow up?
Not a college football. It's Northeast, same as you. So not college football.
But BC, Rutgers?
Yeah.
But if I go South, they don't even know they're pro. I mean, they don't have pro teams, so they don't care about the Panthers nearly as much as North and South Carolina teams. So how many people would go watch Auburn, Alabama if they knew those kids weren't in class, if they knew those kids were mercenaries? Just out there playing. They don't care about the Crimson Tide. The reason why they're out there is because they got paid more. And all I can tell you is the only thing indispensable is the majesty of the league you're playing in. Semi-pro football gets no one. You watch the USFL, XFL are coming together. They're going to begin to build a legacy, but that does not pay the bills. The thing that pays the bills is looking at Alabama and seeing the black and white leather helmet person from 1930 and seeing how far we've come in 2024 and saying, I'm part of that legacy, instead of I'm a mercenary that came there 1 year because Nick Saban found a way to get me more money. I don't know. I think you might be blowing up what you love so much.
Yeah. What does this also, I wonder, there's always been big schools, medium schools, small schools. I wonder if this makes the big schools bigger, the medium schools smaller, and the small schools, of course, just stay small.
Yeah, I think what's happening with the consolidation of conferences and the collapse of the Pac-12 now. So when these USC and UCLA go, California, I don't really want to stay here. I'm going to go play against the bigger teams, more revenue. But wait a second, coach. I got to go 1,700 miles to go travel. I got class on Thursday. I got to go travel there and get there on Saturday. Oh, yeah, forget about class. They forget about regions now. It's I want to go to the conference. It's going to get me the most revenue to give me the best shot at a national championship. So the 1AA, it's you're always tough drawing, the historically black college. Oh, unless Deion Sanders is coaching you, is tough going. But I do think it's going to hurt those second-level good schools. And I guess you'd put, you know, Tulane in that category.
And again, where does the volleyball player from Eastern Connecticut State come into this that isn't making revenue for the school? I guess, you're not making revenue for the school. Maybe that's where the free market comes in.
Right.
Where certain sports and certain divisions and certain conferences get more.
You got to go tap into your alumni in order to supply the athletic program, in order to get some sponsorship. I remember I played Division II soccer, and we almost had no revenue. The new coach came in after I graduated and said, yeah, forget about no new revenue. I'm going to go sell sponsorships. So we literally went and sold sponsorship and tied him to the fence, and the program boomed. So I ask you, even though it might be a smaller school, Eastern Kentucky, East Stroudsburg State, Nova University over in Florida, there are people that will support it, but you're going to have to go sell it, and you have to be prepared to give the players money. But I like your idea that you kind of brought me into, is give categories. One, if you're in those power conferences, here's your offensive lineman, here's your defensive lineman money, here's your running back money, and then maybe give them a certain section to go. You got a great personality, great smile, you're the Sugar Ray Leonard of your class, right? Everybody wants to interview. Give them that category. But I just think everything's got to be disclosed. No more under the table. Don't tell me what extra you got. Everything's disclose it. And I do think there's got to be limitations. Set it up and revisit. Whatever you come up with, put it in 2 years. Revisit it in 5 years. Mm-hmm. Keep the same panel in place. Like Tommy Tuberville is doing all the sports stuff because he's a former football coach,
yeah,
who's in government now. But there's a lot of people that would love, like, there's a lot of people that would love to play a role in this. They just love this sport, the play-by-play people, the athletic directors, the retired especially, no horse in the race. The active people are consultants. The experts from sportscasting to former players to management, athletic department managers, to former sports executives of Gatorade, of Nike, of Reebok, Under Armour, also playing a role. And just say, how do we figure this out?
Yeah.
Everyone should put their hand in, and no one should feel as though they've been locked out, with fundamentally giving players what they need to be able to play and go to school.
Yeah. I mean, now that the box is open, let's see where this is in 5 years.
If there's no regulation,
right?
I'd hate to see what's going to be left of it. It is going to be...
Or see what the regulation is in 5 years.
Right. I just hope that Joe Manchin, before he leaves, he is leading this. I had a couple of conversations with him. He's passionate about it. And now that he's leaving, he's really got no horse in this race. I know West Virginia, college football, college basketball means a lot there.
Brian Kilmeade, co-host of Fox and Friends, host of the Brian Kilmeade Show on the radio, host of One Nation with Brian Kilmeade on Fox News Channel. Brian, I don't know how you remember your family's names.
Right. I see the pictures of them. All right.
Brian Kilmeade, thanks, man.
Thanks, Chris.
Here's a look at the week ahead.
Monday, a pair of First Amendment arguments are heard by the U.S. Supreme Court, including a lawsuit by the state of Missouri alleging the federal government colluded with big tech companies to suppress free speech. Tuesday, get your brackets ready. March Madness begins. 68 Division I men's college basketball teams play in a single elimination tournament, leading to the championship game in April. Wednesday, the Federal Reserve will wrap up a two-day meeting and announce their decision on interest rates. In remarks to Congress, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the central bank would not lower interest rates until inflation goes down. Friday, Congress needs to pass a second set of spending bills in order to prevent a looming partial government shutdown. This final group of funding would go toward the Department of Defense, Health and Human Services, and Homeland Security, among others. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. Far too often, women's lives are cut short as they fall victim to unthinkable crimes. But each week this month, I'll be joined by women who fought back, survived, and took back control. You won't want to miss this month's stories of survival, strength, and resilience. Listen and download on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
Rate and review the Fox News Rundown on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Carol Roth.
What's on your mind?
During his entire tenure, Biden and his mouthpieces have tried to blame just about everything for inflation, except the actual culprits, which include his fiscal policy alongside damaging Fed monetary policy. We were told there would be no inflation, that it would be transitory, that it was good for you and only hurts the rich, that it was consumers' fault, that it was businesses' fault, that it was Putin's fault, and it was backward-looking, among other nonsense trying to justify the erosion of the middle and working classes' purchasing power. Biden has returned to trying to single out corporations as the cause of inflation. when Sesame Street's beloved Cookie Monster tweeted his own exasperation with inflation in the form of shrinkflation, leading to smaller cookies. Yes, even fictional characters are being impacted by it. Biden's team blamed corporate America and greed for this outcome. Biden's talking out of both sides of his mouth. When he claims the economy is doing better and the GDP is growing, well, wouldn't that mean that corporations are growing as well? And when he highlights that wages are increasing, that obviously creates higher costs for businesses that they then pass on to consumers. It's all related, and he can't claim economic victory and then chastise the businesses for their growth. Moreover, corporate profits aren't increasing at a material higher rate than during other times. When prices increase, that drives sales growth. Keeping margins constant, more nominal earnings will be had by corporations. Again, downstream outcomes of inflation. According to FactSet, Q3 2023 marked the seventh consecutive quarter that the S&P 500 reported lower profit margins. At the same time, Y charts shows lower U.S. corporate profits after tax as a percent of GDP than when Biden took office. And Guru Focus, using Bureau of Economic Analysis data, shows a shrinking corporate profit margin during the time period inflation was raging under Biden. The idea that corporations just decided to become greedy is always a stupid talking point. If someone is charging too much, another company would come in and sell at a lower price at the same quality to take market share if they could. Also, why would they just become greedy now, particularly in the last couple of years, as the purchasing power of consumers has dwindled due to inflation? It's, as Biden likes to say, malarkey. But that's not stopping Biden's authoritarian ways. Instead of taking ownership of the mess he's created, he is using his gaslighting as an excuse to move us further away from free markets. Biden announced a task force led by both the FTC and the DOJ on corporate pricing. Notably absent is any focus on government spending and pricing, by the way. The focus of this endeavor is not only to crack down on illegal pricing, but, quote, unfair pricing, whatever that is. As we know, the concept of unfair is completely subjective. In terms of government, unfair is a weasel word to allow them to further pick winners and losers and do more stupid things that would ultimately hurt the economy, like institute price controls, which always leads to bad outcomes, like goods rationing. Customers aren't stupid, and gaslighting them adds insult to injury. We all know what caused inflation and who's to blame, whether we are on Main Street or Sesame Street. I'm best-selling author Carol Roth. My latest book is You Will Own Nothing, and you can connect with me at carolroth.com/news.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.